again.
No matter how God does it, the truth remains that the new Jerusalem will come down out of heaven and it will be placed on the new earth. God will no longer
be separated from his people like we know separation right now. The separation that we know right now is I cannot look at my God in his face. I cannot see him. I follow him by faith because that pleases God. But I cannot look upon him. You know, in Genesis, I don't want to do that yet. He will eliminate everything that separates us from him. Sin separates, it will be gone, and God will be in a perfect place with his people yet again. You know, God will do all of these things, but then there's a verse here in verse 4 that I absolutely love. Verse 4 is one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. God's collection will be complete. Well, Scott, what do you mean by collection? What are you talking about? How many of you collect something in your house, whether it be fishing poles and reels, whether it be firearms, whether it be purses, whether it be toys, whether it be coins, stamps, or whatever else? How many of you have a collection of something? We collect things, right? Did you know that God collects things? He collects one thing. There's one thing that God collects. And at the end of this, his collection will be complete. Psalm 56:8. You keep track of all of my sorrows. You have collected all of my tears in your bottle. Every tear that you cry, God collects. They are precious to him. And here in Revelation 21, what does it say? God will wipe away every tear. His collection is complete, done. And man, that's going to be awesome when we hit the new earth. His collection will be complete, and there'll be no more tears in heaven. Doesn't that sound great? No more tears. No more sorrow. No more I'm sorries. I was sitting here this morning as we were going through communion, and Dave was playing Near the Cross, and the tears started to form. Why? Because my Jesus had to go to that cross for each and every one of us and take a punishment he did not deserve. But why does he do it? Why did he do it? Because he loves beyond belief. He loves you beyond belief. And that's what causes me to shed tears when I think about that. That he would be willing to do that for a wretch like me. But he done it anyway. But in that moment, there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more I'm sorries, because everything is going to be made perfect. And then here we read in 21:6-8. Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly and the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Aren't those words wonderful, that it is done? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It is done means it is complete, 100%. There is no 99.9. It is 100% done. No more planning or work that must be done before it is completed. Only enjoyment. Only enjoyment. And that's to be had by all the sons and daughters of God Most High. Now, the remainder of chapter 21, it talks about the New Jerusalem. And we're not going to get into the specifics of the New Jerusalem. I encourage everyone to go back and read that for yourself and to study what the New Jerusalem is going to look like. But the remainder of our time this morning, I want to spend in 22, because 22 has some things that we need to be reminded of today. Everything that we have just read is what we are looking forward to. It is what we are looking forward to. And I so long for that day. I long for that day when it is done and it is finished. But then there's so much more that goes on besides that. We're going to see the coming of God and on His throne. And that's going to be great. And then we get into chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree, they are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Now, this is the same concept. The new earth is the same concept that we see in Genesis when God begins to create. It's the same concept, except this is going to be completely different from the Garden of Eden that we read about in Genesis 3. Now, there in Genesis 3, we see that there are two distinct trees that God mentions. He tells Adam, you can eat from any tree in this garden except for one. One tree you cannot eat from, the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Do not eat from that, or if you do, you will surely die. As we get to the new earth and we read this passage of Scripture that talks about the tree of life, we don't hear anything about another tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? If it was there in the first creation, why isn't it going to be there on the new earth? Well, let me tell you something. Everyone that is there on the new earth, they already know what evil is. They have lived it. They have experienced it. They have seen how it separated them from God. And God says there's no need for it anymore. It will not be there on the new earth. It will not be there. But this tree that will be there is going to be different than the first. The tree of life is going to be there. And on the new earth, it is going to be watered from the river of life. And this tree is going to produce its crop every month. 12 different fruits. And the leaves are there for the healing of the nations. This is a special tree. It will not be like the first tree that was there in the Garden of Eden. The former temptations of the tree of knowledge of good and evil will not be there. We will not experience any of that because the curse will be gone. And everyone who is on the new earth has already experienced everything. We already have memories of what that evil is like. And we're going to want nothing to do with it. because God himself is going to be there, and he will give us all that we need. Then we're told in verses 4 and 5 of a spectacular sight of all who live on the new earth that we'll enjoy. So verses 4 and 5, let me get there. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. We will see God's face. We will see his face. But this is so much different than what we experience right now, isn't it? It is so much different than what we experience right now. We cannot see God's face. And the book of Exodus, Exodus 33, 17 through 20, tells us why. And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know your name." I know you by name. Moses said, "Please, show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all of my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man cannot see me and live." But on the new earth, the old order of things is gone. It is done away with. And I'm going to get to look at my God straight in his face, to look at my Jesus in his eyes, to see that beautiful love, to see this inexpressible light that is going to shine where there'll be no more night. I will get to see this love that is everlasting, and it will shine forever and ever. I'm looking forward to that moment, aren't you? To look God straight in the face and know that he loves us and know that he has done all of this for us. It's going to be pretty amazing, because we're going to be in our eternal home and not this one that'll perish. As we begin to finish up here this morning, I wanted to read Revelation 22, 6 through 16. And this is what it says. "And the angel said to me, 'These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angels to show his servant the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to do vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. What must we do as we continue to live this life on this current earth and as we stand on the edge of eternity waiting for the new heaven and the new earth? What are we to do? What are we to do? We're to wait patiently. We wait in eager expectation as we wait patiently. Are you looking forward to it? Are we looking forward to this, the new heaven and the new earth? I pray that we are. But there is a poem that I would like to share as we close. I use this poem a lot at funerals. And the story behind this poem, I found this in my great-grandmother's Bible. And it holds a very dear and special place to me, for me. Because when I read it, I seen that there was something about that poem that my great-grandmother, my great-grandfather, my grandmother, they read this and they seen it, and it excited them. There's something so exciting about what this poem has to say. And it talks about how we should live our life right here and right now as we wait. I know not when. I only know the fact that He is coming and He bids me wait in joyful expectation, day by day. Uncertainty does not one whit detract from me the joy of watching at the gate. It rather adds delight and buoyance to my fair hope that any night or any day I may be quickly called away to meet the Lord. Can you feel the excitement in that? He tells me I need to wait just a little longer, hold on just a little tighter, love them a little more like I love them, show them my glory. Because one day, I'm going to call you home. I'm going to call you home. And I pray that when He does, He says, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. And with that, I end with these words. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come. Because there's so much better waiting on us in heaven and on the new earth. Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks and praise today. Oh God, You are so good. You are so good, and we should be so ready to come and to be with You. But Father, until that day comes, You have called us to wait and to do our part. Father, speak to our hearts about what we need to do, who we need to talk to, who we need to love. And Father, I pray that we love them like Jesus. We love them with the truth of the Word of God that is in the Holy Scripture. Father, help us, we pray. Help us, we pray, as we watch and we wait with eager expectation. Lord, we thank You. And we pray all this in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. So where do we go from here? 15 weeks we have spent looking at the end times. And we have read 21 and 22 today, where we've talked about the new heaven and the new earth. So where do we go from here? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because we're going to spend the next 4 weeks talking about heaven. We're going to talk about heaven. We're going to explore it and see what the Scripture teaches us about it. And I have enjoyed preaching on the end times, but I'm looking forward to talking about heaven in the next 4 weeks. So I pray that you're able to come back and join us. Invite your family and friends to come and experience what the Scripture teaches us about this new heaven and new earth that we're going to spend all eternity in.